Welcome to Comic Talk Today for Saturday, May 12th, 2018. And this is finally a discussion of Infinity War with Reagan, 14-year-old daughter. So without further ado, let me play that. I hope you enjoy it. No top of the pile today. Top of the pile, I've decided to move on to Monday. So I don't keep on pushing back this Infinity War chat. Let me know what you think at Geekvine on Twitter. Enjoy. Joining me today, the one, the only, Reagan. Say hi, Reagan.
Hello there.
For anyone who doesn't know, Reagan's my daughter. Reagan, introduce yourself.
Yes, I am his daughter, and I'm here to talk Infinity War.
Yeah. So, Reagan, how old are you, Reagan?
14 years old.
Reagan's 14. So, you're in what, third grade?
No, I'm going to be a freshman.
So, we went to see Infinity War. What'd you think of the movie?
It was a good movie, but it was really sad, too.
How many other Marvel movies have you seen? I think we went to see Deadpool together, right?
No, I haven't.
You didn't see that? Okay, never mind. That was me and your mama. Okay. Which ones have we gone to see then? Guardians? You went to see Guardians with us.
Second one. I haven't even seen the first one.
Shame on you. Zoe's seen the first one like 300 times.
Well, if I did, I can't remember.
Okay. Which ones do you think you've seen? Or do you remember seeing?
Well, I don't really know how, like, the difference between a lot of, like, comic book movies, because they all have, like, the same kind of characters, you know? Like, Suicide Squad, what's that?
That's not Marvel.
I didn't think so.
And you went to see Justice League with us, but that wasn't Marvel either.
Oh. Well.
Alright, did you see Captain America?
I did not.
Did you see Iron Man?
I think I saw it a long time ago, but...
The first one, right?
I think so.
Did you see... Alright, so you didn't see Guardians, no Captain America. Alright, how about the other Avengers movies? Have you seen any other Avengers movies?
I feel like I have, but I can't really, I don't remember.
So what you're saying is, Marvel movies are terrible, and you hate them.
That is not what I'm saying. I just haven't seen, I have no...
Alright, that's fine, you don't hate them. But Batman's the best.
He's pretty cool.
Alright, she admitted he's the best. Alright, let's talk about Infinity War. So you haven't seen any other Marvel movies. Did you have any idea who anybody in this movie was?
I had some idea of, like, half the people. Like, I knew who Doctor Strange was. I knew who, like, all the, like, most of the main characters. But I didn't know some of their names. I was pretty familiar with.
So, do you think, for you personally, did it matter to you that you didn't know who anybody was? Because you already said that it was pretty sad, so I'm assuming you had some kind of connection with the characters, right?
I did, because, like, I got to know them throughout the whole movie, even though I may have not seen, like, any of the movies with just them featured in it. But I think it sort of mattered in a way, but it wasn't that big of a deal, because I could just learn their character through the Infinity War.
That's pretty interesting. I hadn't thought about that. So I know I talked to some people, and they were saying that if you'd never seen a Marvel movie, then you probably wouldn't enjoy this. But from what you're telling me, maybe if you didn't see a Marvel movie, maybe it was more enjoyable.
I think it was.
So after seeing it, does it make you want to see any other movies that came before it?
Well, I remember right after we got home, it made me want to watch Doctor Strange, because I had wanted to watch it before Infinity War, but I never got around to it. But now I do even more, because, like, I've never seen what, like, he can do that, like, out of Infinity War.
So what about Doctor Strange makes you want to go see the movie?
He seems like a really unique character, just the way, like, he can... I don't really know how to describe his powers, but it's really cool.
You like the hand motions?
Yeah.
Well, you know the movie's on Netflix. You can watch it.
I did not know that. I thought you had to pay for it.
Nope. It's on Netflix, so you can go watch it. Actually, let's see. What else is on there? Captain America's on there. Iron Man's on there. Guardians of the Galaxy's on there. And Doctor Strange is on there. So if you wanted to, you could watch them all for free.
That sounds like a plan.
Now, I know you said some of your friends went to go see the movie. What'd your friends think about the movie?
Well, they also thought it was sad. And earlier today, I was in math and a lot of people were talking about it. It was, like, a lot of people were spoiling it for each other that haven't seen it, which sucked. But they'd all seen it and they thought it was just as cool and just as tear-jerking.
Tear-jerking. All right, what was... I think we can spoil it by now. Well, a little bit, not too much. What was the saddest part of the movie for you?
You said don't spoil it too much, so I'm not sure how much I should say.
About, don't name a character. Can you tell me without naming the character? Maybe just talk about the scene?
Yes, I can. It was the death of some person. And it was very sad, and it was just like in a scene within itself. Like, it was like a longer scene than some of the other deaths that happened, and it just had more of a build-up.
Was it one of the female characters?
It was not.
It was one of the male characters. Was it a younger character?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Does this younger character shoot stuff from his hands?
Yes, he does.
Does he maybe swing places?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm not surprised. You think it's maybe because he's like around your age, and so it felt sadder because he was much younger than everybody else?
That was mostly the reason why, because like he's younger, and then he's just like dies.
Sad. That was pretty sad. I think, well, you never saw the Spider-Man Homecoming either, right?
I want to see that.
Okay, because I haven't seen it either, so maybe we should watch that together. He was in, which one was it? In Captain America Civil War, which happens right after his own movie, which we're not going to name because you don't want to say who it is. But his very swinging movie, and then immediately after he shows up. Or actually, you know what? I could be lying. Maybe it happens right before. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We'll watch Homecoming. I've been saying I was going to watch it for a long time, and I've never seen it. Do you think that maybe part of the reason why his death was so sad was the amount of buildup in the relationship he had with another character in the movie?
That was some of the reason, because it was just like a longer scene, and it just had more time to, you know, like really take in what was happening. And, like, I didn't expect it. It was really unexpected, because most of, like, the main characters are just, like, they just are dead. And it was surprising, but it was sad.
So I want to ask you. So the reason I wanted to record with you is because in the movie, I think a lot of the saddest death parts or the more emotional parts of the movie are scenes between, like, a father and a child. Okay, so for example, there is a lot of building relationship between Iron Man and Spider-Man, okay? Because Iron Man is like his mentor, you know? He gave him that awesome armor with the spider legs on it. And that was pretty sweet, right?
That was really cool.
So you can read that in the comic. It's the Iron Spider. It's pretty awesome. All right. So there was that. And then you had the stuff with Thanos and Gamora, which was also pretty sad.
Yes, that was awesome.
So, without spoiling what happens in that part of the movie, were you surprised that Thanos did what he did?
I was surprised that he did what he did. And that was...
What was it surprising to you, though?
Well, because I think that his love toward Gamora and, like the relationship, I don't think he would do something that could, like, bring himself to
this. What gave you that feeling, though? Because I think they made it pretty clear throughout the movie that Thanos was never a good father, right? He was very tough on Gamora. But obviously, from what you're saying, you feel like it was pretty obvious to you that he really cared about her, that he loved her.
Okay, yeah, come to think of it, I do remember that being a thing in the movie where he's not a very good father. Yeah, I'm kind of having second thoughts about that. But it was still a part where it may have been surprising because it was like a main character.
Okay, so you were surprised. Did you understand why Thanos did what he did with Gamora?
I forgot the reason he did it because I'm not sure, like, why he had to do that.
Well, do you understand why he was trying to get all the Infinity Stones?
Was it for power?
Well, kind of. And the reason I ask is because I've talked to a lot of people that have seen the movie, and a lot of people are confused as to why he was getting the stones. Because the movie is based on a comic book, or a series of comic books. And in the comic book, the reason he wants to get the stones is because he's in love with this woman. And the woman is Death. Okay, so he's in love with Death and wants to impress Death. And so he wants to get all the stones in order to be able to prove to her how much he loves her. Okay, and as a result, he's going to kill half of the universe, kind of as a love offering for Death. Okay?
Does that make sense?
It does. And
does it? Because it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it makes sense, like, when you like describe like why he's getting the stones, but like that reason is never mentioned.
Right. Yeah. Death is never in the movie. So the reason he's doing it in the movie is he also wants to kill half of the universe, but the reason he wants to do it is because he thinks that there's too much life, and that life is ruining the balance of the universe. Okay, so if you remember, kind of towards the end, when Star-Lord and Iron Man and Spider-Man and who else is there? Drax and I can't remember. Anyway, there's some more characters there. Oh, Doctor Strange is there too. When they go to Thanos' planet, okay, that one that looks kind of like a desert, right before Thanos shows up, they start fighting him, right? They're trying to get the gauntlet off his hand, and he explains to them why the planet looks the way it does. They were having problems too. They had a lot of people there. There wasn't enough food. There wasn't enough, like, energy or whatever. And so he suggested that in order for them to stay alive, they kill half of everybody in the world. They decided not to do that. And so as a result, everybody ended up dying because they didn't have food. And so he doesn't want the same thing to happen to the whole universe. And that's why he wants to get the stones so he can make that happen. Does that make sense to you?
That does make sense. And it also clears up the reason why so many of the characters in the movie were just kind of like randomly picked out and like were killed. And it didn't really make sense to me then because like just I was thinking like why them? Like there's no reason but not.
Yeah, you're right. And I don't know if there is like a real reason. Because I was trying to think about that after I saw the movie. So I've seen all the movies. You've only seen very few, but it seemed to me like what they did is they killed pretty much everybody except the original Avengers, okay, the people that were there in the first few movies, okay, so like in Iron Man, the first Captain America, in the first Avengers movie, and then everybody that died kind of happened afterwards. It seems like that way when the next Avengers movie comes, which is I think like next year, they can have those people fight Thanos. Because I guess some of those guys don't want to do Avengers movies anymore, and so maybe that's kind of, they're all going to get killed, and then that way they can sacrifice themselves for everybody else.
That makes sense.
The other thing I was thinking about is, so you remember the most important stone, I guess, is the Soul Stone, right? When him and Gamora go to that planet, and they meet that weird guy in the hood. Okay, so he was in the first Captain America movie. He was a Nazi, and that was Captain America's arch nemesis. He kind of got thrown through a portal to another dimension. And it turns out, as we learn much later on, that artifact that made him disappear is one of the stones. So I'm sure that part didn't make any sense to you because you hadn't seen that. So when that character showed up, I saw some people in the movie were like, yeah, it's blah, blah, blah. But I think most people were like, who the hell is this? Because that movie came out like 10 years ago, and we haven't seen him since.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was wondering who that was.
All right, so that's the Red Skull. And he was trying to get the power of the gems, too. So that's why he was saying that, like, he couldn't get the gems. That's why the gems put him in this place to guard the soul gem. Okay? So if you remember, when Thanos and Gamora are talking to the Red Skull up on that mountain, the Red Skull tells him that the only way to get the power of the stone is one life for another, right? So he has to sacrifice a life to gain the soul gem. And that's why that whole thing happens. But I wonder if that's not maybe what we're going to get in the next movie.
Wait, you mean the thing, like, with everyone else happens, like, half the universe, or...
With Gamora. So I wonder if in the next movie, that's not how we get everybody back. Okay, so the original Avengers, the ones that didn't die, sacrificed themselves in order to bring everybody else back, right? So one life for another. Which I think would make sense, because then you have all these younger characters coming back into the movies, right? Because in the movie, you had, like, Black Panther died... And you know he can't be dead because there's a Black Panther movie coming out next year. Spider-Man died. And you know he can't be dead. There's another Spider-Man movie coming out next year.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking because, like, all these main characters are dying and, like, people are going crazy. And, like, they can't just be dead like that. Like, they're going to come back one way or another because they're so important.
Well, and in comic books, nobody really dies. They die and then they come back a few years later.
I guess I have more to learn.
So, you saw Guardians 2. But not Guardians 1.
I think.
Didn't we go see it in the theaters? I think you and me and Zoe went to go see it in theaters.
The first one or the second?
The second one.
Yeah, the second one.
So I think one of my favorite parts of the movie was Teen Groot.
Yes. The ending part.
Well, the whole thing, right? So throughout the whole movie, all he does is play his little video game.
Oh, you meant Infinity War. I thought you meant Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Well, in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, he was great too. But no, I'm talking about Infinity War.
Like at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, like at the end, he's a teen. But then Infinity War.
Yeah, he's a little bit older teen. And I thought it was really funny because all he's doing is playing video games while everybody else wants to fight.
Pretty accurate.
What is it that you do all day, Regan?
Well, besides going to school, I'm usually on my computer all day and up in my room and in my cave, as Mama calls it.
It's true. And you're usually playing video games or watching YouTube videos. Of people playing video games.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Or like just doing something else that's not productive.
I'm not knocking on you. I watch people play video games too, so it's fine. But I thought it was funny that the whole movie, that's all he does, right? He doesn't want to get into any fights. Like, he's not paying attention to anything. He's playing his little video game. And of course, it's a really old video game because Star-Lord had that since he got taken into space in the 80s. It turns out that Groot ends up being pretty important in the movie, mm-hmm. right? So we have Thor's like whole mission is to regain his hammer, because his hammer was destroyed at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And he has this awesome new hammer that kind of looks like an axe. And the way that it gets put together is Groot like cuts his arm off and makes the handle for the axe.
Yeah, that was really important.
Which I like that, because especially when you have a character that you're not expecting a whole lot from, when they do something really important, it's very meaningful. And I think that goes the same with Rocket Raccoon. And I think the relationship between Rocket and Groot was one of the most interesting things in the movie. Now, I know that you don't know this. Maybe people listening don't know this. But as it turns out, at the end, when teenage Groot is disappearing, right? When everybody starts dying off and he's disappearing, he says, "I am Groot," to Rocket Raccoon, right? Because that's the only way he talks, right? He says, "I am Groot." And apparently, according to the guys that made the movie, what he says is something like, "Bye, Dad."
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no. That's really sad.
It's really sad, but don't you wish that they had maybe said that in some way in the movie instead of having to find that afterwards?
I think that could have been like an interesting aspect, and like it could make it have more emotion if you're like seeing it in real time instead of finding it out afterward. Mm-hmm. If it had caption.
Yeah, I think that would have been cool, because they've had like a really interesting relationship in the Guardians movies leading up to this, right? Because in the first Guardians, they were kind of like partners, right? Because Groot was already an adult. Then when Groot got killed and you got baby Groot, Rocket Raccoon is the one that's racing baby Groot. And so into teenage and, of course, you know, past that. So I thought it was cool that Groot would call Rocket his dad, even though he's not really his dad, obviously. But, you know, if they had put like a caption, you know, because they never put captions when they translate. They never translate anything.
You just have to like figure out like how other people who speak Groot like respond to his thing, like, you never know what he's saying. I'm Groot.
Well, except when Thor is talking to him, which that part was funny. Remember when Thor goes to the guardianship and Groot starts talking to Thor? He's like, "I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot." And Thor's like, "Whoa, don't say those kind of things." And they're like, "Wait, you speak Groot?" He's like, "Yeah, I took it in college."
I want to take Groot in college.
I mean, it can't be that hard, right? You just say, "I am Groot." What was your favorite part of the movie? Like, your favorite scene, maybe?
I think because of all the emotion it had, I don't know when it was exactly, but it was around the point when everyone started dying. And I don't know if it was like I think it was like a flashback or something. When, like, it was a weird part of the movie, but it was just like had a lot of feeling to it. And it was when Thanos, he has this flashback or something, and Gamora is there all young, and there's like nothing around, and he, like, something happens. I think she talks, but something, I just remember it being really emotional.
Are you talking about the flashback when he first meets Gamora, when he invades her planet?
Yes. Wait, no.
You're talking when she's in like a little gazebo? And it's just him and her?
Yes.
And there's nothing else around? Okay, so you're saying that's a flashback.
The flashback ends, like, along with everyone else dying, because that just had a lot.
But what if I told you that that's not a flashback?
Then what else would it be?
So what if that's... Because that happens after Thanos snaps his fingers, right? So what if him talking to little Gamora is happening inside the Soul Stone?
That is an interesting thing to think about.
Because you got
to
remember, at the end of the movie, he's like hanging out in his little tent. Because remember, at the beginning he said, all I want is for this to be over so I can be back in my world and watch the sunset. That's what we get towards the end. He's in his little tent and he's looking out in the mountains. He's smiling or whatever. So what if none of that stuff is actually happening? Maybe when he snapped his fingers, he got sucked into the Soul Stone along with everybody else. And so that's why he can see young little Gamora. And she's really smart in there, right? Because she the stuff that she tells him, he's like, she says something like, did you think it was worth it? And he's like, yeah, I thought it was worth it.
So what did she say in that?
I don't remember exactly, but he's like, something like, are you sure you did the right thing? Or like, are you sure it was worth it?
So like, with all the dead people, like all the dusted people be in the Soul Stone? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I would think, right? See, if you're doing, remember, the whole thing with the Soul Stone is you have to sacrifice one life for another. So what if all those people that died were sacrificed to keep some alive? And that includes Thanos, right? Because now he has no need to be there, right? He got rid of half of everybody. That's what he wanted to do. Now he can go and live happy and watch the sunset like he wants to, okay? And it just so happens that he wants to do it with the one person that he loves, that's his daughter.
Yeah, I get that.
I thought it was interesting, too, because that scene was a little similar to the one that I was alluding to earlier. When he first meets Gamora, right? She's with her mom, and Thanos and his armies attack, and they separate everybody, right? They put some people here and some people that way. And Gamora's mom is on the side of everybody that's going to get killed. And she tries to go to her mom, and Thanos is like, no. You don't need to be on that side. You need to be with me on this side. And then he gives her the little pocket knife that she uses to stab him later on. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. All right, so you liked that scene. I'm trying to think what my favorite part was.
Another one of my favorite parts was when Spider-Man is up in space.
I think that was one of my favorites.
And like the whole new suit with all the legs, that was really cool. Like,
yeah, I think that might be one of my favorite parts because... So they have that guy that's in the spaceship, right? One of Thanos' guys. And they're trying to figure out how to kill him. And remember, the way that they do it is they punch a hole in the wall of the ship. So there's like a difference in air pressure. And the guy gets sucked out of the ship. You remember that part?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I don't remember if it was Iron Man or Doctor Strange. It was Iron Man. Doctor Strange is like, oh, that's a great plan. And Iron Man's like, it wasn't my plan. It was the kid's plan. He watched a lot of movies. And the reason that's one of my favorite scenes is because... That is the way that they kill the aliens in... I don't think you've ever seen Alien.
I've heard of it.
Okay, yeah, I don't think you've seen it. It's an old movie, but it's fantastic. You should probably watch it, because it's kind of horror-y, especially the first one. They made, like, four different ones. The first one, you don't see the alien until almost the end. But the way that they kill it is they punch a hole through the ship, so the alien gets sucked out, and then they seal it back up. And that's why he said the kid watches too many movies.
Yeah.
So because they reference one of my favorite movies... That was one of my favorite parts, too.
It's one of your favorite movies?
Yeah, I love that movie.
You should see it.
Spider-Man
and, like, his typical teenage, like, watching all the movies and, like... and, like, the like his experience. I remember in one of the Avengers movies, I forgot which one it was, we went to see it in theaters.
Oh, yeah, we went to see Civil War, because that's the one that... Yeah, that's the one that had Spider-Man in it.
And, like, just how little of experience he has is...
But it's also fun to watch, right? Because since he doesn't know what he's doing, he talks a lot.
Yeah.
And so it makes it fun to watch, right? Because he's really entertaining. And a lot of the stuff, like, he'll hit somebody, but it's not always on purpose, right? Like, he tries to do one thing, but something else happens.
But then in Infinity War, he thinks of this idea, and it actually ends up being... sort of like the thing we were talking about earlier about like how Groot wasn't like a huge part in Infinity War, but he actually did something in the end. But like that part of Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, right? Because now, I guess by the time Infinity War happens, he would be a hero, I don't know, maybe a couple months, we'll say, right? Whereas in Civil War, like, he was brand new, right? Like, he didn't even have a costume until Iron Man gave him one.
Ooh, yeah.
Right, so now he's had a little bit of experience, and of course, Tony is helping him learn how to be a hero, right? So that goes in with the father-son motif, right? There's a lot of father and child relationships in the movie. And for Spider-Man, Iron Man is his dad, right? Because he doesn't have a dad. His aunt raises him, and especially for being a superhero, right? Like, he's learning to be a hero thanks to Iron Man. I think that's pretty good too, to see like the change from each movie and how he acts, especially with the cool armor that he had, because he had spider legs popping out of his back, which was cool because he didn't have to do anything. Like, they kind of act by themselves.
Yeah, I remember when he first found out, he was like, oh man, like they just kind of worked on their own. That was cool.
I agree.
And I don't know if you've seen, I'm just going to point this out, I don't know if you've seen all the memes that have been made about everyone else dying. That is a very popular meme right now.
Well, make sure to look at the memes.
Disintegration meme. You're welcome. It's depressing, but it's...
Anything else you want to say about the movie?
I love the movie. It's one of my favorite movies. Like, just in general. Because, like, it tends to be a thing where I go to see a movie and it just ends up being, like, so good. That it's specifically movies, not that you watch by yourself. It's movies in the theaters. New movies.
I think, yeah, I was trying to think about it. I want to see it one more time. I don't know if we're going to get to see it in theaters again, maybe when it comes out. The day that we saw it, I was like, this is my favorite Marvel movie. Not my favorite movie, but my favorite Marvel movie. But I got to think about that for a little bit. Because there's another one that I really like, the Captain America Winter Soldier, which was the first time that Bucky showed up, Winter Soldier. It's the guy that was missing the arm and they gave him that metal arm in the case. That was the first movie he showed up in. And I think that might still be my favorite one out of all of them. But this one's really good. It's definitely, like, up there. Maybe number 2 or number 3 even. We'll see. Maybe when I watch it again, I'll decide. All right, so you have homework. Your homework is you have to watch all 22 movies that have come out over the last 10 years.
How much time do I have?
You have until tomorrow.
I don't think that's even physically possible.
No, it's not really homework, but you should watch them. A lot of them are on Netflix.
I will do that, because I just now learned that those are on.
Yeah, I think some of them, I don't know if you like. Like, I don't know if the Captain America, the first one at least, I don't know if that'll be for you. But at least you'll see who the Red Skull is, so that would be cool. The Iron Man movies are kind of fun, but those are like the first ones. They're much older. I don't know, maybe like start with Guardians of the Galaxy. Or, like, Doctor Strange is really awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to see that movie ever since
In terms of the story, it wasn't my favorite, because it's a little slow at the beginning, until, like, he learns to become Doctor Strange.
Is that movie when he's first introduced, or is he a thing before?
No, the first, Doctor Strange is the first time he shows. Well, I think he showed up in, like, the post-credit scenes in one of the Thor movies.
And that's, like, the first time.
Yeah. So, it's not like some of the other characters where they've been in, like, 4 or 5 movies already. Like, he's just been in this and his movie, so you should watch those. And then I think Thor might still be on there. I don't know if they're all on there. There's 3 of those. I think the first one might be, and maybe the second one, but the last one's too new, so I know it won't be on there. And I haven't even watched the last one. The last Thor movie.
I don't think it's.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the first two are on Netflix. I'll have to check. The last one had him and the Hulk in space. That's why when the movie starts, they're in that ship. And Thanos killed all of Thor's people except Thor and Loki. And then the Hulk comes out of nowhere and starts fighting Thanos. Because that's how the last Thor movie ended. And that leads into this movie. That was the movie before.
I'm so inexperienced in the Avengers. I wasn't really sure who Hulk was, or like when he was going to come in, until the guy got, like, he was angry. And then, like, he turned into person. I've never seen him in this movie. Is there like a Hulk movie?
Yeah, you probably don't want to watch him. It's not the same actor, and technically, I think there's 2 other Hulk movies. Technically, they have nothing to do with any of the other movies that we've seen. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering.
I think Hulk works better as a character in somebody else's movie than he does in his own movie. So the just Hulk movies weren't that good.
Yeah, I'm not sure about like the story of Hulk, but I like.
What you should do is watch the Hulk TV show from the 80s when I was a wee bit lad, and that show's pretty awesome. And it's got the best theme song. You should look up Sad Hulk Music on YouTube.
I remember that being talked about. The sad, you wanted me to play that on the piano. The sad Hulk theme.
Yeah, it goes do-do-do-do,
do-do-do-do-do. That's the theme song?
Yeah. That Hulk music. I don't know what the actual name of the song is, but that's what everybody knows it as.
Oh.
Because at the end of the show, he would always walk off, like, down the highway with, like, his backpack, and that's the song that would play.
I can just picture that. That's...
I'll have to show it to you. All right. I think we could wrap it up, yeah?
Yeah. I think we got to do it.
Thanks for hanging out, Reagan.
You're welcome. It was good to be here.
We should watch more movies and talk about them.
I think we should.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that discussion. And I hope that Reagan will join me on the podcast once again at some point in the near future as we continue to talk about comics and movies and TV shows and all that kind of stuff. If you want to get in touch with me, at GeekVine is the best place on Twitter. ComicTalkToday@gmail.com if you want to send me an email. Don't forget to do the iTunes reviews or review wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, which should be this one. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Monday. And to all the mothers, happy Mother's Day.